Alan Johnson.
Mr. Speaker, I'm surprised that we have the monkey at the dispatch box and not the organ grinder.
Order. Statement, the Secretary of State for Culture, Olympics, Media and Sport. Mr. Secretary Hunt.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And, well, Mr. Speaker, I do take being called a monkey very seriously because in my wife's country they used to eat them. May I start, Mr. Speaker, by apologising to the Leader of the Opposition for the fact that he's only just received a copy of this statement. As he will find out, there was a development only just about half an hour ago that dramatically changed the contents of this statement, and I have only just received my own copy, which is why we weren't able to get him a copy in advance.
Mr. Speaker, I accept the Culture Secretary's apology for the late notice of his statement, but the truth is it points to the chaos and confusion at the heart of this government. And after what we have heard and the questions left unanswered, we all know it is the Prime Minister who should be standing here today. It is quite wrong that he chose to do a press conference on Friday in Downing Street about these issues, but is unwilling to come to the House today. Instead, he chose to do a press conference at Canary Wharf just 20 minutes down the road. Mr. Speaker, the Culture Secretary has no direct responsibility for the judicial inquiry that he talked about. He has no direct responsibility for the police and the relationship with the media. But he has been left to carry the can by a Prime Minister who knows there are too many difficult questions for him to answer. It is an insult to the House and to the British public. Now, can the Culture Secretary tell us, did Ed Llewellyn, the Prime Minister's Chief of Staff, tell the Prime Minister about this evidence against Mr. Coulson?
He talked about Andy Coulson, and he should be very, very careful not to be someone who throws sticks in glass houses.
Mr. Alan Johnson.
Can I ask? The Prime Minister said on Friday that he didn't receive any specific information. It's clear that that information was passed to Ed Llewellyn. If Ed Llewellyn failed to pass that information to the Prime Minister, will he be sacked or will he be given a second chance?
But I am... Let me say that, with respect to what the Prime Minister did or did not know, he will answer for himself, but he has said that he takes full responsibility for the decisions that he took, and he has also said that he had no knowledge of any illegal or criminal activity by Andy Coulson when he took the decision to employ him.
Mr. Simon Hughes.
Mr. Speaker, will he pass on to the government and to the leader of the Conservative Party the request they join with my party in requesting Rupert Murdoch to withdraw his bid?
My honourable friend has asked me a question that I actually can't answer because every member of this House is able to have a view about whether this takeover should go ahead or not, whether it should be withdrawn, except for me, because I actually have a quasi-judicial role, so I'm not able to prejudge that decision by making a comment. I believe the Prime Minister is a man of honour and integrity, and when he said that he had no knowledge of that particular episode, I believe him.
To Ben Bradshaw,
did he know about the dinner involving the Prime Minister, James Murdoch and Rebecca Brooks 2 days after he was handed responsibility for this policy area? And why shortly after that dinner did he abandon the Business Secretary's previous approach and reject Ofcom's clear recommendation to send this to the Competition Commission?
I didn't know about the dinner. I didn't know about the dinner. I didn't know about the dinner.
Mr. Tom Watson.
Mr. Speaker, far from this scandal being about wrongdoing at News of the World, it is a story of institutional criminality at News International. John Yates' review of the More Care evidence was not an oversight. Like Andy Heyman, he chose not to act. He misled Parliament. He misled readers of the Sunday Telegraph only yesterday. Does the Secretary of State agree that his position is untenable?
Well, with great respect to the honourable gentleman, who I commend for his tenacious campaign in this area, I don't think that that is a judgment that I, as Culture Secretary, should make. I completely understand the honourable gentleman's anger on that issue, but obviously parliamentarians cannot tell the police what to do because we have the separation of powers. I think the honourable friend will understand that I'm slightly above my legal pay grade in answering that question, and we need to look at the kind of problems that we may face in the information age that may be very different to the problems that were tragically reported last week, but we will look at all those issues.
Helen Goodman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. One of the reasons for operating a positive vetting system in Whitehall is to see whether officials might be susceptible to blackmail. Yeah. Following the horrific revelations from News International, it would appear that Mr. Coulson would be a prime candidate for blackmail. Was he positively vetted?
Yeah. I'm afraid I don't know the answer to that question.
Mr. George Howarth.
Mr. Speaker, in view of the fact that the Secretary of State does have a quasi-legal responsibility in some of these matters, why is it that he's making this statement?
Just because I have a quasi-judicial role doesn't mean that I'm not able to announce to Parliament important developments in the exercise of that role, which is what I've done this afternoon, I see, with Mr. Speaker's approval.
I wasn't expressing approval or disapproval, I was just nodding benignly, as is my wont. David Hanson.
Could the Secretary of State advise me, or perhaps, if he can't advise me today, report back in the future, as to whether or not the Prime Minister or any member of the Government has discussed these extremely serious allegations with Mr. Coulson or with Rebecca Brooks since his resignation from the Downing Street office in January of this year?
Well, the Prime Minister has said that he hasn't spoken to Andy Coulson since he resigned his position. Can I just take this moment to correct what I said earlier to the Honourable Member for Dillon? I believe what the Prime Minister said is that he hasn't spoken to Andy Coulson recently.
Mr. Toby Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Is it not a disgrace that the Secretary of State's come here to make a statement without basic answers to the questions that he's being asked, and in fact doesn't even know about conversations between Andy Coulson and the Prime Minister that anyone who read a paper would have known? Why is the Prime Minister not here? What is the engagement he's got that's more important than this House?
The Prime Minister's not here because today we have had an incredibly important development in a decision for which I am responsible, and therefore I thought it was important that I came and spoke to the House, as did the Prime Minister.
Sheila Gilmore.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. First, the Secretary of State indicated at the beginning of his statement that the reason that he had been late in preparing the statement was that something had happened within the last half hour. He has then gone on to say that the reason he was here instead of the Prime Minister is because an important development had taken place. But we were given to understand that it would be indeed the Secretary of State giving this statement some two or three hours ago. So surely these statements don't square?
Had News Corporation not withdrawn their undertakings half an hour before I spoke, I had another important announcement to make to the House about the operation of those undertakings, which is no longer valid, and that's why the Prime Minister decided I was the appropriate person to make the statement.
Mr. John Cryer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The Secretary of State will be aware that in his statement last Friday, the Prime Minister said that he commissioned a company to do a basic background check on Andy Coulson, but he omitted to name the company. I'm sure it's a perfectly innocent omission, but could the Secretary of State place those details in the library of the House this afternoon?
Well, I will pass on his request to the Prime Minister.
Gion Wura.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's a relatively simple question. Did the Prime Minister's Chief of Staff, Ed Llewellyn, pass on details of the allegations of criminal activity to the Prime Minister?
The Prime Minister has said that he had no knowledge of any illegal activity by Andy Coulson before he offered him the job in Downing Street.
Helen Jones.
Now he has said that the Prime Minister hasn't spoken to Andy Coulson recently. Will he undertake to place in the library a log of any meetings and phone calls between the Prime Minister and Andy Coulson since his resignation from Downing Street?
Well, I will happily pass on her request to the Prime Minister and he'll make a decision as to what he wishes to place in the public record.
Mr. Dennis Skinner.
Isn't it convenient that this absent Prime Minister has been able to dodge the real questions of what did he know about criminal activities from Murdoch? When did he know it? And isn't it time, based upon the British public's reaction, that we sent this non-taxpaying Murdoch back from whence he came, and for the final humiliation, get the Secretary of State for Energy to drive him to the airport?
I'm not sure I can follow that, Mr. Speaker, but suffice it to say that he has the chance every Wednesday to ask the Prime Minister any questions that he chooses.